Gates.
Mystery.
Monsters.
Mayhem.
You know, I like to go to Chinatown, but that's...
Is that where you saw that bow-legged bitch that one time?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. In an alley.
Yeah.
Walking out of an alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And it wasn't just a bow-legged bitch. It was a bow-legged little bitch. It was a little person.
I think I flipped it in my head. I thought it was a little person telling, like, a lady of the night.
The lady of the night was calling her pimp a bow-legged bitch.
That, oh, wow.
Which makes it funnier.
That is funnier, and I think maybe says a lot about, you know, me and what I thought of gender, you know?
You bow-legged bitch!
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around.
Nope.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, right?
I'm into it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I'm into it.
That was a good memory of that, of going to Chinatown.
I think there might be, like a sketch... comedy piece that we could write, or maybe a stand-up piece that we could write about wanting, like, being so on the left, but also being kind of in the middle so much that you want to get friends from every ethnicity so that you can make fun of them. You know? Like,
if you
want to do an Asian accent, you have to have an Asian
friend. Right. That's why I feel okay making fun of rednecks and white trash, because I grew up white trash.
Yeah. Yeah,
I grew up. Some would redneck, say, still white trash.
Still got a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fuck's sakes, man! I got a mustache and I'm drinking Coors.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I have friends who are extremely conservative.
Yeah.
So I have no problem chiming in on the idiocracy of the right. Which, I mean, who cares?
Of white America.
White America. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. I'm just saying, we just need to laugh. You know, the world would be a better place if we just laughed.
Isn't that what, like, every Coca-Cola and Pepsi commercial is all about?
I can't speak because I'm an RC guy.
Yeah, they don't have money for advertising.
They don't have money for advertising. They don't. And yet, you find little bits of RC in movies and whatnot, which I think is great.
I told you, I when I was in Pennsylvania, there was a diner that had RC on tap.
In The Life Aquatic,
yeah.
In the scene where Steve Zissou is on the beach and there are the sugar crabs, he looks down at his feet and there's a bottle cap for a Royal Crown Cola.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, Wes Anderson's from Texas, I think, so I'm not sure where the limitations of RC Cola is in regards to the geographic areas of the United States.
Is that what Smokey and the Bandit 2 is about?
Yes.
Getting RC Cola across the Rockies.
I'd like to imagine that that's also the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was RC Cola in the trunk.
Yeah.
They were running RC.
Fair. But we've been rolling
good.
Pretty much around bow-legged bitch.
Yeah. And I should point out that, I mean, that is an actual true story.
Yeah.
So I'm not making fun. Well, I'm bow-legged, actually, so I can make fun of bow-legged bitches.
I mean, I'm not, but I am flat-footed, so I feel like I'm parlayed in.
Yeah, you flat-footed bitch.
Yeah.
And it's really all about how you say the word bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. Bitch. You flat-footed bitch. You bow-legged bitch.
We kind of came to this record just now.
Yeah.
The same way a band will reform after an encore.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Like, I came in with the acoustics.
Yeah.
You know? And then you were, like, the drummer, and you just came in and, like...
Right. The build.
Yeah, we built it, because as I was just setting up in here while you were out in the garage painting.
Yeah.
And then you went to the bathroom and then came out and just sat down and we started recording. There was no like, hey, we're going to record now.
Just like the Beatles. We're like the Beatles, right?
No.
Ah, okay.
Maybe more like Foo Fighters when they play Everlong.
Oh, yes. You know, I'm not really familiar with the Fighters.
You know Everlong.
I know Everlong. Yeah. I am familiar with Foo Fighters in regards to actual UFOs.
Yeah, I guess.
But not the band.
Yeah. That is, that's not quite the most hipstery thing I've ever heard, but it is strangely sad.
It is. It's appropriate for the show.
You're coming in here telling me that you knew Foo Fighters before they were cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
When they were World War II lights in the sky.
Yeah.
Yep. I wasn't alive then, of course.
No.
But I knew.
No studying.
No. Not on my part. You ready to roll?
I've been ready Let's since Bow Legged Bitch, baby.
Well, you know what? Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to M3 with E5, and I'm your host, Epion5, and joining me, as always, is Brian Era Soul Pro, and I'm going to ask you...
Technically, you joined me.
I did. You had the podcast first. I was a guest on your podcast.
No, I mean literally. You just sat down and started recording.
Well, literally and yes. Figuratively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's dual function.
Yeah.
It's a football eraser. It's a dual function.
What are the two functions?
You could throw it and you can erase with it. That's two things, man. It's dual function.
Oh, man. Football eraser comes up. Almost every other day, and you know what?
I love it.
Funny every time.
It is funny. For those of you who don't know, that is a reference to home movies. Great cartoon.
Oh, God.
I'm going to ask you how you doing.
You know how I'm doing. You live here.
Tell the audience.
Been better.
Yeah?
Financially.
Yeah. But, it's that time.
But, you know, in spirits, doing fine. Doing fine. My dead dad's birthday is next week.
Okay.
So I gotta get through that hurdle and then get through Christmas and then get through his death day. And then it's my birthday. And then
is it,
in April, everything's gravy, baby.
Is it wrong of me to say we should get a cake?
I'll be out of town. I try to just
okay.
not do anything.
Oh,
but stay busy at the same time.
Okay.
You can get a cake, though, if you want.
I haven't had cake in a long time.
Just fucking get real drunk, eat a cake in the bushes, just like Johnny Cash. Well,
what you don't know is when you're at work,
yeah.
I sit in the chair, get drunk, and eat chocolate juniors.
No, you think I don't know? I'm the one that takes out the trash. Figuratively and physically.
So, not Johnny Cash, but kind of Johnny Cash, just...
So my dad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. This is the holiday season, and it sucks for some people, and it's great for others. And honestly, I can't wait for the holidays to end.
Yeah, I hate them, but as you see, I manufactured something over there.
I know, you got a little Charlie Brown tree.
I try really hard every year to make myself like it, and I just don't.
I think my Christmas gift to you, I've already told you, I'm just going to drive us to Waffle House. That's it.
Yeah, that sounds great. I feel bad for the people that have to be working that day, though.
We don't have to go that day. We can if you want, because I think they're open.
I will be off that day.
And if we do go to eat at Waffle House on Christmas, of course, I'm going to tip them heavily, because they deserve
it. Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know? Got it. You got a tip, man. Got a tip.
Well, child support ain't cheap.
No, it's not. In this economy?
I just, look, I don't want, not disparaging the people of Waffle House. It is one of my favorite establishments on this beautiful planet. But there is a prerequisite to working there. You do have to have a prior and you do have to be paying child support. And that's fine. I'm glad they employ people.
I'm not going to argue against that.
They need jobs.
Yeah, everybody needs a job.
Yeah.
The Waffle House is great. I fucking love it, man.
It's my happy place.
It is good. Christmas is going to... Well, it's Christmas. This is December. We got Christmas coming up.
Yeah.
So you know what that means?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Today's episode...
It's a big one.
It's a special one.
It's a big one.
It's our annual Christmas episode.
It's a big, big, big one.
An episode that we like to call... Murder Toys!
Yeah, Toys the Kill.
Who wants to die?
Nope, nobody.
From fun.
Oh, from fun.
I'll die from fun. If you're going to go out having fun.
Sure.
Now, before we begin, I have to give everybody who's listening a trigger warning.
Oh, sure.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Most of these segments involve children. Now, we are not making fun of the unfortunate outcomes that have befallen some of the little kids involved with these toys.
You're talking about dead children.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
We are going to make fun of the fact that these toys were ever made in the first place.
You know, in my segment,
yes,
no death.
Oh, okay, nice.
Just a little sprinkling there for
you.
Okay, yeah. Because I brought a segment this time around.
I know.
Yeah.
I've worked it into the script here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're reading from a script?
I wrote a 7-page script for this.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Okay.
And if you, the listener, are out there, if you're a first-time listener and you're not familiar with what a murder toy is...
What a great one to hop onto.
Right. A murder toy is simply a toy that at one time was available... on the market for kids to buy, a toy that can cause serious injury and in some cases death.
There's reasons why they put the tiny text and warnings on these
things. Exactly.
Yeah.
And without further ado, let's get into our first segment of Murder Toys.
Let's do it.
Well, let's, you know what? Tragedy, it's timeless.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's not limited to modernity, but has existed since the dawn of man. And when we talk about murder toys, toys that kill or maim, we often make the mistake of only thinking of contemporary toys or toys that are relatively modern, such as the rocket-firing Viper from Battlestar Galactica. What?
Did you say modern?
Yeah.
And then you came at me with Battlestar Galactica?
I mean modern in the sense of while we're alive.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was.
You know, recent history.
The royal we.
Exactly. Gotcha. Also, like Cabbage Patch dolls, you know, creepy crawlers and the like.
Yes.
But toys have actually existed since the dawn of man. The earliest known toys are a child's rattle found in Turkey and a doll's head found on an island off the coast of Italy. And both of these toys date back to about 4,000 years ago. So toys are nothing new. Tragedy is nothing new. And with that being said, our first segment of this episode will take us back to the year 1883.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. We are talking about the Victoria Hall disaster. Have you ever heard of it?
No, that sounds terrible.
It was new to me too. So I should point out, I think out of all the episodes we've done,
I think I have heard of this actually.
Well, you've got one up on me because I didn't. It's new. And that's one of the reasons why I love the Murder Toys episode, because most of this, I know all about the monsters and the Halloween masks and stuff. I know most of that in my head, but a lot of this I researched, so it's fun to learn. It's fun to learn.
Well, you know what? I'm probably wrong, because we are talking about murder toys, and my brain was thinking, I don't remember what the time frame was, but there was a roof cave-in that happened. That was a whole other thing.
Yeah, not this one.
Okay, gotcha.
So, the Victoria Hall disaster. Now, this first entry in
our
episode...
sounds like a good band name.
It does, actually, yeah. The Victoria Hall disaster.
Yeah. Opening for the Brian Jonestown massacre.
Yeah. Good man.
Yeah.
This first segment, it's not about a specific toy, but it pertains to the idea of a toy and the unfortunate consequences associated with it.
What a weird...
little curveball.
What a weird setup. Okay. Yeah.
On June 16th, 1883, in Sunderland, England, a magic variety show was taking place at the Victoria Hall. And this variety show was being performed by a Mr. and Mrs. Fay. And according to the...
Fagin?
Not Fagin.
Okay.
These ones do not fuck.
Well, they probably did.
They're more into magic.
Yeah, most do.
Do you really think magicians fuck?
They trick you into it. Well,
according to the advertised flyer of the show, this variety show would feature incredible acts as conjuring.
Oh.
Talking waxworks.
Okay, they're kind of diminishing returns here.
Yes. living marionettes.
Creepy.
And the great ghost illusion.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but whatever. It's a cool flyer.
Illusion or allusion?
Illusion.
Okay, so not like Poe or Chaucer.
No. Now, the show was geared towards children, and admittance to the venue was only one penny. One pence for the show, please.
Yes.
Also advertised on the flyer in bold letters was the word prizes.
It wasn't as flamboyant as that. I assume it was more of the Cracker Jack variety.
I mean, it was in bold black, but yeah.
Okay.
But I would like to imagine that when kids were reading it in their mind, they were like, prizes!
Sure.
Well, they were British, so it'd be more like,
prizes!
Prizes!
Prizes, yes!
Oh, prizes!
Oh, I came for some prizes!
Oh, my gog, I want to get me some prizes for Pete!
That kid had mutton chops somehow. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they had mutton chops. Of course they did.
4-year-old with mutton chops.
4-year-old mutton chop.
A 4-year-old.
4-year-old. Yes. Yes. I know what happened. Yes. The word prizes was followed by the sentence, a Every child entering the room stands a chance of receiving a handsome present, books, toys, etc.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Et cetera, yes. That could be anything.
I know. Well, the theater was packed, and the show went off without a hitch. Everyone was having a good time.
Having a good time.
Just want to have a good time. An announcement was made at the end of the show that certain children with numbered tickets would receive a prize upon exiting the theater. At that same time, the entertainers on stage started handing out toys to random kids that were in or near the front row.
Do you think they had them in like a t-shirt gun?
I don't think those existed back then.
Just
but
launching Hot Wheels at children.
if they did, I thump, would, yeah. Thump, that's thump. Just survival of the fittest,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, you know? Well, the t-shirts don't fit everybody.
No, that's true.
It's one size fits all, baby.
Yep. Well, honestly, those kids back then were probably very malnourished, so they probably all fit.
Hey, we got me a blanket.
Hey! It's so warm. However, the children that were up in the balcony, all...
Oh, God, no.
1,100 of them.
That's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
I would venture to say that's about 1,100 too many children.
Yes. They became worried that they would not receive any free toys.
I want me toys.
No. So they got up from their seats and started running towards the stairwell in an effort to get to the front of the stage as quickly as possible.
It's like a Travis Scott concert.
As this mass of children rushed down the narrow stairwell, they came upon a door that only opened inward, and in addition was bolted so that it could only be opened wide enough to allow one person through at a time. This rush of children slammed into the doors, and those at the front were crushed to death by the combined Jesus. Weight of the 1,100 kids behind them.
That literally is like that Travis Scott concert.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, I didn't know who that guy was. I just thought he was a Happy Meal, but it turns out he was a musician. I found that out later.
Travis Scott?
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody that wears some Oh Boys, if I, you know.
Don't.
We'll get to that later.
Okay, oh boy.
Adults in the theater immediately realized what was happening and rushed to the doors, sadly, to no avail. Remember, the doors opened inward, and with the weight of 1,100 children pressed against the doors, it was a futile effort. The only thing the adults could do was pull one child at a time through the narrow open gap of the bolted door.
Do you know what kind of toys they were?
No.
Thrown out?
No. I looked up toys that existed back in the 1800s. It's relatively simple, like dolls, balls,
could
stuffed animals.
Could you imagine?
In the 1800s, toys were kind of a rare thing because everybody was fucking poor.
Yeah.
It wasn't like today where you...
Well, it's like a lot of wood-made stuff, too.
It was a lot of wood-made stuff, yeah. But even if you were a kid, you only had a couple toys.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So... The idea of giving out a free toy, that was a big... I'm trying to think, would that be like giving out PlayStation 5s?
Sure, yeah. Or like, I don't know, free iPads or some shit like that. But like, could you imagine like being up in the balcony, seeing this disaster occurring before you over a fucking Raggedy Ann doll?
Right, yeah. like, if I were a future person, I'd be like, really? For that?
Her?
But her?
And the her in that was the Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But for the time frame, yeah, it would be like a PlayStation 5.
Right.
So, in the end, a total of 183 children aged between 3 and 14 years of age were crushed to death.
That's fucked.
In a stampede for free toys.
You're really starting out...
I'm starting out hard.
On a light one.
Wait.
Here. You're really starting out on a light one.
I'm starting out hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should point out, yeah, this is the most death we're going to have in this episode.
Oh, goody.
It's mostly just injuries after this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Light maiming.
Yeah. But a trigger warning, though. Some people get very squeamish at the thought
Fair.
Of a kid dying.
That's a lot.
It is. 183 kids. Yes. It's terrible. As this tragedy was, as a result of the multiple deaths and how they occurred, legislation was immediately passed to prevent this kind of stampede from ever happening again. And as a result, the push-bar emergency door was invented.
What? No
yes,
way.
It is because of this.
Wow.
This specific event that the push-bar emergency door was invented and implemented to expedite any kind of exit or escape.
That's insane.
So then, yes.
Every time you see one of those, since you read this, have you been like, that's because of dead kids?
Yeah. No, that's actually, I wrote this. I wrote that. That's my next sentence. I literally wrote, so the next time you push a bar to open a door at a public place, 183 kids were crushed to death.
Oh my God.
So that you could exit that building that you're in.
Oh, Jesus fuck.
And that is the Victoria Hall disaster.
Wow.
Not a specific toy. Toy related, though.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a rough one. I wanted to get it. I wanted to just get it out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I blame the English.
Yeah. I just...
What was the time frame on that? 1883. Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's fast forward over 100 years to the future of the aughts, the 2000s.
In less than 10 years from that time frame, there would have been, like, feature films.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Then they wouldn't have had to care so much about toys.
No.
You know, you had movies to watch.
Well, I kind of wonder, like, when did they start having toy tie-ins related to movies?
Ooh, that might be a fun little one-off.
Yeah, I have to do some research that.
Battlestar Galactica and mm-hmm, such.
Mm-hmm. Four-year-olds.
Exactly. Okay, where are we at now?
We're in the 2000s now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Modern.
There was a brief period when I don't know about you, there was a brief period when I was exhibiting at comic conventions when I would see booths exhibiting and selling pearl or bead artwork. Do you remember that shit?
Yeah. It doesn't really happen anymore.
No, it was...
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because I think we as a society have realized that that's not art.
Yeah. Yet, I saw it a lot. And for a while, it was a popular form of crafting. Anybody could make nearly any image they wanted in a pixelated aesthetic.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was take a hot iron and melt a bunch of perler beads together.
Perler beads are like the equivalent of paint by numbers, right?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in 2004, a research company called Epoch said to themselves, they said, hey, you know what we should do? Let's get crazy. Let's get fucking crazy with perler beads.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just get some fucking crazy. Let's get crazy with, you know what? Let's kick those perler beads up a fucking notch, man. Let's get extreme.
Yeah, Epoch extreme.
Exactly. So, in trying to figure out how to expand on this basic craft idea of perler beads, one of the research assistants...
Was basic italicized in your...
It was not.
Okay.
It was not italicized.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes. One of these research assistants noticed that his bag of candy that he had with him in the lab, a bag that contained chocolatey balls.
Hey, Chuck, I noticed this bag of candy I got here. My chocolate balls are all stuck together.
I don't know why. Yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly what happened.
I was taking the listeners there in their mind's eye.
I'm sorry. I'm just still laughing at chocolatey balls.
Hey, my chocolatey balls are all stuck together in this bag.
I don't know why I read that. I don't know why.
That's the sound of a researcher.
It is, exactly. Epoch. Especially for Epoch, yes. Yeah. I mean, for fuck's sake, they're trying to expand on perler beads.
Epoch.
It's very extreme.
Yeah.
But yeah, due to the moisture, the chocolatey balls, they stuck together, creating a three-dimensional object made up of small spherical candies. And voila!
I know this one!
Oh my god, dude.
It's the magnets!
No!
Oh!
You're close, though.
Okay.
You were actually very close.
Thank you.
A new crafting idea was born.
Uh-huh.
An idea that would overtake the world of crafting creations. An idea in which very small spherical beads could be used to construct any three-dimensional object a mind could dream of. And then using simple water, you could fuse those beads together. And thus, the aquadots were born!
The fuck is that?
I didn't know either what aquadots were.
It sounds
were.
Like a bad, like, villain for Space Ghost back in the 70s, the aquadots.
The aquadots, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that, like a little team.
Yeah. I hate it.
Okay, well...
Are they foam?
No, they're not. They're not foam.
They're plastic.
Yeah, they're plastic, like plastic beads. Mm. So...
Chocolatey balls.
Yeah. I think you like the chocolatey balls more than the aquadots.
God, I would gobble them up in a second right now.
I would not gobble up aquadots, and we'll get to why.
Yeah.
In 2007, aquadots, also known as bindies, Aqua Beads and Pixos burst onto the scene. Despite the different names, they were all the same exact toy, just marketed by the same company, Spin Master, under those different names to maximize profits.
Was Spin Master in Run DMC?
No.
Oh, okay.
Which was the member of Run DMC who got shot? It wasn't.
I don't know.
Okay. No, sorry.
Can't ask me these questions. I'd have to Google that shit.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want you doing that. Not now.
Not now. Not ever.
Not now. The concept of the toy, as aforementioned, was very simple. Each package of Aqua Dots contained numerous small colored spherical beads. A child could then use an included bead plate to arrange the beads in whatever configuration or pattern they wanted to, and then using a mist of water, which you'd spray onto it, it would join the beads together. Mm. Now, if you wanted to get really inventive, you could stack beads on top of each other, thereby creating your very own three-dimensional object. This is where we differ. Personally, I love the idea of this toy.
Okay.
If I were a kid, I would have wanted this. Because I think of this as a science toy. I think it's a great idea because you could essentially create three-dimensional representations of molecular structures.
You fucking nerd.
And that would have been great in science class. Instead of like trying to write it out on a blackboard, you could actually create a three-dimensional version of this is what this looks like.
I guess, but didn't... I mean, you could have just used like... what are those, like erector sets or whatever?
You could.
You know...
But beads, though, are more akin to what molecules look like,
or
as
like
opposed
those,
to an erector set.
What are those things called? They're like wooden. They got the like the circles with the holes in them.
Oh,
and
you put
the dowel rods in.
Yeah.
And you can just do it. Like,
you could do that, too.
It's
yeah.
way better.
But also, as a kid, I'm like, well, I could use these beads and make like some kind of a cool little thing for my Star Wars figures, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. My mind instantly was right. like, you could build walls. And
exactly.
You could have like fights and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And you could break them and throw figures through them.
In theory, it was...
You could make tables.
It was a cool toy.
And put your wrestlers through them.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool as shit.
See?
All right, I'm in.
You came around to it.
Yeah, yeah.
However, despite being named 2007's Toy of the Year in Australia, there were some immediate problems.
Oh, such as?
The Chinese company that was contracted to manufacture the beads coated them with a chemical that would allow the beads to be fused together when exposed to moisture.
Ah, but the problem, they're delicious.
Yeah. And they came in all sorts of colors, so they did look like candy.
Yeah, yeah.
The chemical used, however, was a toxic chemical known as... It's weird. I looked this up. This is how I've seen it written, so I'm just going to say it as it is.
Go for it. Go get them, champ.
1,4-butanediol.
Well, that sounds like it's made with butane.
Yes. A form of butane, but 1,4-butanediol. By itself, the chemical is not really a problem. It does exactly what it's supposed to do regarding the toy. You get the beads wet, the beads stick together, you got yourself a snazzy new toy. The problem is that kids are...
dumb.
They are profoundly stupid.
Very stupid.
And they like to put things in their mouth.
And this was Australia's Toy of the Year.
Yes.
Come on down to Australia.
Yeah, you're going to...
Toy of the Year. Look out. Don't choke on it. You know why.
You put these pats in your mouth.
Got small pats.
Yeah, you got these pats in your mouth. Yes.
Too many small pats.
I should say, though, the problem was worldwide. But yeah, it's just funny
that the year that
Australia was like, this is the best toy ever. Well, problem is when you put aqua beads in your mouth, or swallow some aqua beads, aqua dots, bindies, whatever.
Yeah, they love the water.
The moisture within your body metabolizes the chemical coating and produces gamma hydroxybutyric acid, a chemical which causes memory loss, vomiting, a loss of transmissions between the brain and the body, blackouts, seizures, comatose states, and in extreme cases, death.
Oh.
If any of that sounds sadly familiar, that's because the gamma hydroxybutyric acid...
It's fucking fentanyl?
None other than GHB.
Oh.
The date rape drug.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate laughing at it, but...
I remember this.
Yeah. That's right. every single little Aquadot is nothing more than its own little roofie pill.
Mm.
And that is exactly what 9 little kids did to themselves. Well, reported 9 little kids.
Right.
2 in Australia and 9 in the USA ingested some Aquadots and roofied themselves into unconsciousness, requiring emergency medical attention. Sadly, 2 of those kids went into unresponsive comas.
Jesus.
Over 4 million Aquadot packages were recalled and the lawsuits began. Now, of those kids that went into a coma, 1 came out okay. The other came out pretty slow and brain damaged. So the parents of that kid successfully sued and won reparations in court. And yet, despite that, despite the Aquadot roofie fiasco, the product was retooled without GHB.
Probably good.
And is now back on the market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, with that being said, ladies, if you see a guy, you know, this is some...
Don't.
Barb Novak. No. This is what Barb would say. She would say, ladies, if you see a guy in the bar and he wants you to play with his Aquadots, you just walk the other way. Because he wants to fuck.
Yeah.
Non-consensually.
Oh, I saw him and I said, oh, that must be a Fagin over there.
That,
all them Fagins.
I tell you what, they are rough. I seen them. They be buying those Aquadots, passing them out on Halloween. It's not good.
Picking up some Aquadots at the Brewers game.
Aquadots, little roofie pills.
Yeah, that's fucked. I mean, on one hand, like, you think, like, how terrible it must be to be the parents of these children, but also, could you imagine working in the office for that company? And then these reports start coming out, and you're like, you put roofies in the toys, guys?
Mean to tell me that every single little Aquadot
God
is a roofie pill?
We are fucked.
I know.
We are fucked, guys.
and if I remember, I didn't write it down, the retail value of the Aquadots at the time, the sets came in different sizes. So yeah. I think on the low end, you could buy an Aquadot set for like $17.
That's way under market value for
a roofie pill? Yeah. Yeah, seriously. All the predators out there, now that they know this, they're like, fuck, I spent so much money on the black market buying my pills, and I could have just gone to Toys R Us.
Different predator. I was doing a different predator.
Yeah. it's pretty fucked. Yeah. I didn't know about the Aquadots. Did you, once I started talking about it?
Initially, I thought you were talking about those little magnets that like, stuck together, and you could build things out of them, but I think children were swallowing them, and magnetizing their intestines to their stomachs, which is fucking crazy.
That's next year's episode.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Was that on the list?
It was one of the things on the list. And I was
that's
like,
a preview for coming attractions for next year.
Because it turns out there's a lot of magnet-related toys that cause problems.
Oh, I could see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember reading that way, way, way back in the day.
Yeah, I didn't know about the roofie pills.
Yeah.
No episode of Murder Toys would be complete without an entry into science.
Oh.
Yes. In 1916, Alfred Carlton Gilbert founded the A.C. Gilbert Company
Fucking nerd.
With a name like that, of course.
Yes, that is the nerdiest name I've ever heard.
Yeah. He founded a company to make and produce toys that would titillate the minds of young boys everywhere.
Titillate. I know. I like that you use titillate.
I love that word.
Yeah,
you
love to titillate.
I do.
Yeah.
And I do mean just boys, not the girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's for the fellas.
Yeah. Gilbert didn't really... Yeah, he didn't really care about the females and their mysterious ways of cooking and cleaning. My God, how do they do it?
No.
Gilbert was an Olympic medal-winning pole vaulter who
sounds like it.
I know. Also happened to be a magician.
What are you talking? Why are you doing this? Why do you keep bringing magicians into this?
There's a lot of magicians involved in toy making.
They're swindlers, dude. They're swindlers, and that's why they keep fucking up.
Yeah. And but he was a magician who believed in science.
What?
I know.
I hate this guy.
He saw the potential for a betterment of the future through science. So, the A.C. Gilbert Company produced many science-based kits marketed towards young boys. Kits in which a budding boy of inquisitive intellect could engage in experiments. Now, if you've listened to last year's Murder Toys episode, you would know that we did a segment on the infamous atomic lab set that Gilbert produced. Same guy. He did the lab set, the atomic lab set.
Oh.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
I really think he just wanted to kill kids.
Yeah.
So if you have, if you're not familiar, go back and listen to last year's episode.
Did I make fun of that guy's name last year?
Probably.
Fuck that guy.
It's a name.
I just want to slap him.
Yeah. But go back, listen to last year's episode, because we do a segment on another science kit he did called the Atomic Lab, which, if you don't know, it's fucked. It is. It's really fucked.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the only science-based kit that Gilbert marketed and produced. In the 1920s, Gilbert manufactured and sold the A.C. Gilbert glass-blowing kit for boys.
What the fuck? What the fuck, man?
That's right. Brian, do you want to learn the exciting science of glass-blowing in the safety of your own home under your parents' extremely flammable roof and flammable curtains and flammable carpet?
I don't see why not.
Well, this is the kit for you.
Yeah, that sounds great. Does every episode of this gonna have an AC Gilbert?
Actually, yes. He made a lot. He made a lot of science sets that are horrible.
Oh my god.
There were two that I was looking at for this one. Yeah. This episode. So I decided to do the glass blowing.
Mm.
Next year there'll be another AC Gilbert set. Jeez,
you know, pun intended. I hate to see what's on the back burner. Yeah.
Pretty, actually, I think every single kit had a burner of some kind.
Jesus Christ.
Well, the best thing about this kit, there are no safety features whatsoever.
Yeah.
There is nothing holding you back from your glass-blowing dreams.
No, you just got a fucking tube and some pellets, right?
Well, this, I'll tell you, this particular kit was produced and sold for about $10 in the 1920s.
That's a great deal. That's cheaper than some roofies.
Well, this and this was about 30 years before the infamous Atomic Lab set that we talked about last year. So, actually, finding detailed info on this kit was a bit scarce, but I did find some tidbits that made me want to include it in this list. Now, this particular glass-blowing kit included glass, as well as glass tubes, flexible rubber tubes, and a heat source in the form of a lamp that was meant to be powered by grain alcohol or wood alcohol.
Which, what year was this?
In the 20s. 1920s. I couldn't get the specific year.
Okay, because we're like right on the cusp of prohibition there, too.
I know, but you were instructed via the manual.
Yeah.
To purchase this at your local drugstore.
Mm.
Which, so I'm guessing as a kid, you can go to a drugstore to buy wood grain alcohol.
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're getting your sodies.
Sure.
You know?
So.
That's why they were called soft drinks, because they didn't have alcohol in them.
Yeah.
There's hard drinks and soft drinks.
Yeah. I did find a copy of the kit's manual online.
Oh, good.
I did.
They didn't all go up in flames.
No.
Fantastic.
And in this booklet were various experiments that a kid could do without parental supervision and without any safety precautions.
Oh, sure.
At no point does the manual mention anything about parental supervision or using safety goggles or wearing an apron or even wearing gloves. As for the various experiments the kit wants you to perform...
That's Darwinism, baby.
Yeah. The obvious experiments are to melt glass, utilizing the alcohol-fueled flame source, and then to create glass objects such as test tubes, glass siphons, glass straws, and even a glass blow dart gun.
It's pretty fucking cool. All right, you know what? I'm into this guy now.
Okay.
This guy's building soldiers.
At multiple points within the instruction manual, it tells kids to heat the glass till it's red hot, and then to hold the glass, the malleable glass, with your bare hands, and to perform various experiments.
Not the tongs?
No tongs.
That you...
Just grab it with your hand.
Yeah, just get in there.
Yeah. Now, to be fair... The manual doesn't say to hold the glowing red part.
Yeah.
Just hold the part next to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
With your bare hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, there are a few experiments where you are supposed to heat the glass. Then, while it's red hot, stretch it out with your bare hands. Stretch it as far as it'll go. Let it cool. And then, you know what? Intentionally break the glass in specific areas.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. Uh-huh. I don't know why.
No, I mean, that's because there's, I forget what it's called.
Breakpoints?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's, there's a spot when you stretch glass out where it's, like, nearly impossible to break. Like, you can take a hammer
to it. Oh, Rupert's Drop.
Yeah.
I know about Rupert's Drop.
That's probably what they're trying to do there.
Well, the problem with Rupert's Drop is when it does break, it explodes.
Yeah.
It shatters everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's no safety goggles with this kit, and it doesn't tell you to wear.
They didn't have safety goggles, didn't they?
They had glass, you know.
They just called them goggles.
Then. Goggles, yes, yes.
There was no such thing as safety back then.
Now, if you are unaware and don't know, the temperature required to melt glass to a malleable state is about 1,000 degrees.
Mm.
The Easy Bake Oven that we talked about last year only got up to about 350, and it was recalled multiple times.
Yeah. For burning people's houses down.
Yes.
Yes.
Being that the Gilbert glass blowing kit was produced and sold in the 1920s, I couldn't find any news articles pertaining to any unfortunate specific events or injuries. But considering that kids were allowed to heat glass to a temperature of 1,000 degrees.
And profoundly stupid.
And profoundly stupid. And to do this unsupervised without any safety precautions whatsoever, it is a fair and safe assumption that there were a lot of third degree burns, possibly a house fire or two.
It was like a Great White concert, dude.
Exactly.
It's insane out there.
And at the very least, a lot of blood was spilled as the result of the inevitable broken glass that a child was instructed to play with.
Yeah. Do you think any kids fucking Johnny Tremaine themselves?
I would say so. Fuse their fingers together? Yes.
That's fucked up.
1,000 degrees?
They should call them
gloves?
Johnny Deformed Hands.
The A.C. Gilbert Johnny Deformed Hand kid. Club hands are fun.
He'll never play guitar again.
Ah, yes. And that is the segment of our science base. Science.
A.C. Gilbert, you done it again.
You did it. He just, I think you're right.
Fucking monster.
I think he just wants to kill kids.
Yeah, for a dude who claimed to be a magician and a scientist, there wasn't very much magic or science involved.
And the pole vaulter. Let's not forget, he was vaulting poles.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't know. Did I ever tell you I was a pole vaulter?
No.
I did. In eighth grade, I was in track and field.
Okay.
And the only reason I did it was because my brother was in track and field. And I was like, well, if my brother can do it, I can do it. My older brother. Yeah, yeah. And then when I got there, I was like, I can't run. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what looks fun?
Yeah.
Pole vaulting.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool.
I did it 1 year and I was like, nope, I'm done.
You were like, I did it once and said, no, thank you.
I tried it for the season.
Okay.
Like, the highest I was able to pole vault, I think, was like 8 feet.
Wow.
So, but then I saw a kid get injured and I was like, no.
Oh, like he blew out his knee or like broke up?
No, so when you run with the pole vault, the whole idea is you plant the pole and you bend it. And then you use the bend to throw yourself up.
Yes.
Sometimes you bend the pole too much. And these are made of fiberglass? Or I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Some composite.
Yeah. And when they break...
Oh, this is going to get gnarly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's like the Rupert's Drop. When they break, they shatter.
Yeah.
And this kid... Oh. I know. I remember his name, but I won't say it. He bent the pole... And it shattered, and the piece that he wasn't holding onto, the piece that was in the ground, shot back out at him and went through his calf.
Nah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. I'm catching up on some wrestling, and I just watched a dude that just returned.
Yeah.
He went through a table, and it's somehow his foot all the way around.
Oh.
All the way around.
Yeah.
That's... Nah, I'm good.
You're good.
Nah, this is why I don't do physical things. I'll do some stretchings. Maybe get on the rowing machine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about it.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, not too crazy.
No.
Well...
So what's next with the murder toys here?
Well, you know what? I think now we're going to have an editorial break from our good friend Brian, Aerosol Pro... Brian!
That's me.
That's you.
That's me. One of the most cherished and longest-running toy lines is the Mr. Potato Head. A lumpy pile of plastic brimming with customization and creativity. Way back in 1949, Mr. George Lerner developed Mr. Potato Head and pitched to several manufacturers, being turned down by every single one. In a post-war, post-rationing life, it was hard to sell people on turning their potatoes into dolls.
It's kind of a weird toy.
Pretty weird. But through his persistence, he sold his idea for $5,000 to a food manufacturer as a prize for a cereal brand. Didn't find which cereal it was.
Okay.
I think essentially it was like you got a packet of like hands and feet and eyes.
What year is this? 40s?
BYOP. Bring your own potato, baby. 49. So probably about in like early 50.
5,000. That's a lot actually for back
then. It is.
Yeah.
It is. In 1951, Lerner continued to push his toy, seeing more for the product. He took the design to Henry and Merrill Hassenfeld, a small textile and toy manufacturer. Seeing the unique potential, the Hassenfeld brothers paid the cereal company $2,000 to stop production and $5,000 for the rights. May 1st, 1952 is the birth of Mr. Potato Head, and Hasbro was born.
I actually have going to talk about
it's
that.
Coming up, baby. Yeah. Although back then it was, you know, bring your own potato. So, the kit consisted of feet, eyes, mouth, nose, arms, hat, pipe, felt hair, and you stabbed all these into a potato. But the 60s came around, stabbing was probably a bad idea, so they made them plastic.
Right.
And, but yeah, this isn't, you know, what we're here for. We're not really here for Mr. Potato Head here. This was all just like a tangentially related piece. We're here for potatoes. Don't get me wrong.
I love potatoes.
But we're here for a new segment on this show.
Okay.
An annual segment that I'm bringing to Toys That Kill.
Enlighten us.
Imagine it. A large russet, matte brown, awaiting its future as a basket of chips or fries to be boiled, mashed, cooked in a stew. Boiled, mashed, cooked in a stew. Potato. Possibly a loaded baked potato. Well, in one household in Sheffield in 2008, it was loaded all right. Loaded into a priest's ass. That's right. This is Sex Toys That Kill, baby. Oh!
It's appropriate. This is a fair topic.
Yeah. Sex Toys That Kill. Or in this case, MAME. And let me tell you something here. I read some gnarly stories that I did not bring to the table here today. I wanted a light transition into
Start
sex
easy.
Toys that
Start
kill.
Easy. Hell yeah.
Because there's some fucked up stuff out there in the world.
There's a lot of perverts out there.
There are a lot of perverts, and a lot of them are doing this on their own. But also, there's simple stories of people just, like, fucking pleasuring themselves, and then they have a heart attack and die, and that's not fun.
No,
you know,
no,
you
no.
want the juicy details.
Yeah, I want the
and
juice.
You don't usually get those unless the person lives.
Yeah, yeah, they gotta tell the tale of what they did wrong.
And this guy did.
Alright.
Yeah, so, it's kind of become a bit of a myth. There's not a lot of info on this, so it's very short, but very sweet. A vicar in his mid-50s presumably limped into a hospital like a cowboy after a long ride. Requesting assistance. It seems he had an accident while hanging some curtains in his household.
Just want to be like, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, me bum.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what
he... Oh, I need a dog in here.
Yeah. Oh, me bum.
Just waddled.
Yeah.
Waddled. Presumably clothed.
I would hope.
Yeah. Seems he had an accident while hanging curtains in his house. Naked.
Should you use finger quotes when you say hanging curtains?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, this is what a russet does. It's a root vegetable.
Yeah.
It does. It knows what it does here, and it does it at its best. It burrowed so far into this vicar's ass that he required surgery to remove it. And to quote the unnamed man, this definitely wasn't from a sex game. I was hanging my curtains. Quote, Father Potato Ass. Picture it yourself here. Naked, high up, hanging curtains. Whoop, slip, fell on a table, tater up the ass.
I've never been to England. if anybody out there is listening and is from England, is it a common practice to have a bowl of potatoes underneath the curtains in the front room?
Not a bowl.
Oh, singular a single
potato.
Is it common to have a singular russet potato underneath the curtains in your front room?
My understanding from the way I read it was it wasn't under, he fell backwards.
Right.
Off of a ladder.
Okay.
Let's say.
Okay.
Onto the table.
Let me rephrase that.
And whoopsie doodle, there's a tater there.
Is it common practice in England to have a single russet potato on a coffee table in your living room near the curtains that you can fall back on?
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's how they celebrate Easter.
Anything's possible.
That's how they do Easter there.
Oh, me bum.
I'm
making mashed potatoes.
Oh, he would have been very happy if it ended up mashed, but unfortunately it stayed solid as a rock. Ooh. And just really rooted itself into the asshole.
It got up in there.
It got up in there. But this wasn't a sex game. He was thinking.
Oh, definitely not a sex game. Finger quotes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really all that I have for this tiny little short segment of sex toys that kill or maim. Recurring segment.
You know, we're all perverts in our own way.
I have some sources here. I would like to thank The Guardian UK and the Idaho Potato Museum for the information here. Now on to you. And a word from our sponsor.
I mean, we're all perverts, and we all know about weird things that people do. I didn't know about potatoes up the ass. That's new to me.
I didn't either.
Yeah, that's a new either. One. I know about plenty of other things up the ass, but not a potato.
I mean, you look at a potato and you're like, no way. No way.
No way.
Maybe a sweet potato.
It's not my potato, not my problem.
They're kind of longer, thinner.
Sure.
You know. But a russet?
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Whew.
I don't know how I'd actually get that far up there.
You could feed a family with that thing.
It's true. Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah.
Wow, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of fun, this month's episode of M3 with E5 is being sponsored by Double D's Nuts.
Yeah.
Who wants some nuts in their mouth? Come on down and try some of D's Nuts. That's Double D's Nuts. Roasted and glazed for your tasteful pleasures, these pecans, almonds, and cashews will transport you to a tasteful paradise of succulent, nutty goodness. So double them up, gobble them down, put some of Double D's glazed nuts in your mouth today.
Thank you, Double D's, and your nuts. Yes. Thank you. I really had to hold back not interrupting you during any of that.
I know.
I wanted a clean take.
I got a whole segment on Hassenfeld, actually.
Do you have Mr. Potato Head in there?
No, it's something entirely different.
It was a massive... Mr. Potato Head was a massive toy.
I had known that it was originally just the parts.
Yeah, pots.
The pots?
Yeah.
Potato pots? You supply your own potato? That's a shitty toy, man. We'll give you some of the parts, but you gotta supply the
toy. A big problem that they had was, like, I think it was, like, in the 60s, they were just, like, it's spoiled vegetables. Like,
it's...
Because you imagine, kid makes the doll,
right.
And then it just sits on the floor.
Sets it there, yeah, yeah.
And it just rots.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No. It's a rotting
caucus. Eventually, they made the little plastic body, but then it was too small, choking hazard.
Sure.
So then they doubled it, and that's the one we essentially have today.
Yeah. I had a Mr. Potato Head as a kid.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
It was
love
fun.
That guy.
All right.
He's my second favorite toy.
Second
story
favorite.
Character.
What's the first one?
Slinky Dog.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Easy.
Okay.
Come on.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
What, are you taking stupid pills?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Taking your aqua dots over there?
If I did, I wouldn't be conscious right now.
Fair.
Yeah. Well, next segment. In the early 1950s, a very simple yet very entertaining toy was introduced to the consumer market. Silly Putty.
Oh, I love a Silly Putty.
Yes.
Take it to the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Copy it.
There's a lot you can do with a simple toy.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Well, Silly Putty.
Throw it at the wall.
It made a bounce onto the scene, and it's been a staple of innocent childhood shenanigans to this day, because it's still around.
Now, you can't get Silly Putty out of here. Come on, it's here to stay, baby.
It's permanent, actually. When you get it in the carpet, it's permanent.
Yeah, no, that's true. You got to get new carpet.
Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar with Silly Putty, the toy itself is very simple.
Who are these assholes that don't know what Silly Putty is?
People probably 20 and younger, I'm guessing. I don't know. Because, I mean, kids are playing with the PlayStations now. They're not really playing with the putty, you know? It's either PlayStation or putty.
PlayStation's very old.
Is it?
It's pretty old.
Wait, what's a PS5? That's a PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, but like PS1 was in like 90, I don't know.
I don't.
94? 95?
I don't know what these things are.
Okay.
I don't play video
The kids
games.
Are too busy on their goddamn TikToks and they're not touching the silly putty.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Damn it. It's a small amount of viscoelastic putty that comes packaged in a small plastic egg. The putty acts like a viscous liquid and can stretch and flow, albeit very slowly, and yet at the same time, it can break like a solid if it's tugged upon very quickly. It is essentially two forms of matter in one, liquid and solid.
You know people have been putting that up their ass, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Undoubtedly, yes. When rolled into a ball, it can bounce.
Yeah.
When shaped into a flat pancake, you can press it onto a comic, and when you peel it back, it retains the image of the comic that you pressed it on.
I forget. It's been a while since I've gotten my soft hands around some silly putty.
Yeah.
Can it do that thing where you stretch it out real thin and you slam it on the table and it shatters?
No, it's
like
not
an Abba Zabba or an Airhead.
Right. It's not like it's the same. It's like a Newtonian liquid or solid.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's not to that point where it would shatter.
It's delicious.
Yeah, but it falls under that category.
Okay.
Now, even I, did you have Silly Putty as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I have a fun story. So, even I had Silly Putty.
What do you mean, even you had Silly Putty? You were like, we were poor, but we weren't too poor for Silly Putty.
It was a cheap toy.
Yeah, of course it was.
You know. But when I had it, I was in elementary school, and the television series V was all of the rage at that time.
Did you build a fake face for yourself and pretended you were a...
Yes. So, while I was sitting in class, I would take out my Silly Putty.
I'm Leatherface!
I would roll it and knead it on my desk as flat as I could, and then I'd cover my face with it, and I would just sit there. And then when someone happened to look my way, I would look at them and tear into the putty as if I were tearing the flesh off of my face.
Like that dude from Poltergeist.
Yes. That's... Nobody really cared or laughed. So I thought it was fun. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
This is why I didn't have friends.
Well, among other reasons.
Yeah. But for as simple of a toy as it was, Silly Putty was a smash hit.
You got your mileage out of
it. Oh, I did, yeah. And it sold, get this, over 300 million units since its debut in the 1950s.
That's a big Twinkie.
That is a big Twinkie. Yes, that is a very big Twinkie. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Ghostbusters, yes, yes.
Yep.
Now, as it is with any successful toy, there are always knockoffs. And in 1961...
Funny Putty.
Funny Putty? Sounds like, that sounds like a food, but I'm thinking of Nutty Buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Nutty Buddy. I love a good Nutty Buddy.
I would eat a Nutty Buddy
now. Just fucking bite into that Nutty Buddy.
Gobble it up.
Chase it up with some double D's.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Chase it with some nuts. D's. Yeah, chase it with the glaze.
I should point out, folks, if you're listening, that wasn't a joke.
That's an actual product. Friend of the pod.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of them. They're making a great business.
They're doing great.
With the double D's nuts.
Check them out. Yep. Go to the Facebook. Don't tell them we sent you because I don't want them to hear what we said.
Yeah. But they do have, you can order double D's nuts. They've got t-shirts.
They got t-shirts.
I actually think, I don't think you can order.
It's a hilarious logo. They have no idea.
Yeah. I don't think you can order their nuts if you live outside of Ohio, because that's where they're based out of, because of food restrictions.
Sure.
But you can order t-shirts, which I recommend you do.
Okay.
So go buy some double D's t-shirts. And if you're in Ohio, go buy some double D's nuts.
Yeah.
They are
or
actually.
Or drive to Ohio. I don't know why you would.
They are really good, actually. In 1961, Disney released a live-action film called...
Clubber, baby!
The Nutty Professor.
Ah, damn it.
But it was remade as Flubber with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
In that film, a goofy scientist played by Fred McMurray.
Oh, yeah. Fred McMurray fucking rules.
He does, actually. Yeah, he's really good in that film, too.
Double Indemnity?
Amazing.
Yeah? Amazing. Right. Yeah.
Cool. In that film, Fred McMurray creates a gravity-defying rubber material called...
Flubber,
yeah. The film was a bona fide hit, and a sequel called Son of Flubber was greenlit and on its way to debut in 1963. So, in 1962, in anticipation of the upcoming sequel, a Rhode Island toy company by the name of Hassenfeld Brothers obtained the license from Disney to produce, market, and sell Flubber. Now, unlike its film counterpart, it could not defy gravity. But just like Silly Putty, Hassenfeld's Flubber could be stretched, pulled, rolled into a ball, and bounced off the ground. Instead of being packaged in a plastic egg like Silly Putty was, Flubber was packaged in a plastic ball. The silver, glittery Flubber was a huge success. Yeah, it was like, it was glittery.
Interesting.
And I think it did come in other colors like blue and whatnot, so...
I cannot remember. Was the movie in black and white?
No, it was in color.
It was in color.
Yeah. I don't remember what color Flubber was in the film.
I don't either.
You know, it's just like any toy company. You make variants and people want to get... You want to get the red. You want to get the blue. I want to get the silver. That's exactly what they sound like.
Yeah, kids are dumb. Yeah.
Their Flubber was a huge success, thanks to the film's tie-in, and it was considered a worthy contender for the viscoelastic crown worn by its rival, Silly Putty.
Get fucked, Silly Putty.
Exactly. Go fuck yourself.
This is Flubber Town now.
Flubber was so successful, in fact, that it sold over 4 million units in just the first few months since its debut in late 1962. The Hassenfeld brothers were riding high on the success of their Flubber. That is, until the following spring, when all the sickness began.
Oh!
Starting in the spring of 1963, there were reports of rashes and skin inflammation in the throats, faces, and mouths of kids who had the Flubber toy.
Oh, they had mouthfuls of sores, huh?
Yep. Matter of fact, the rashes and facial breakouts weren't limited to one geographical area, but across the entire United States. The FDA received 1,600 official reports, and doctors began calling the phenomena Flubber dermatitis.
Oh.
There were so many cases of the Flubber breakout in Kansas alone that a multi-million dollar lawsuit was filed against the manufacturers of Flubber. The rashes were so widespread and common that local health departments began issuing warnings and telling folks to dispose of their Flubber into the trash immediately, which is kind of crazy because they weren't waiting for a national, like, it was such an issue that local government was like, we have to take this into our own hand.
Yeah.
You need to start throwing this shit away right now.
I like to think that it was like the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers or Season of the Witch, where, like, someone was just on TV, like, throw away the Flubber! Throw it away now! Now!
And that's what the local health departments could have been doing.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know?
Flubber will kill us all!
It's basically just a lot of mouth sores.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what won't give you mouth sores?
What's that?
Double D's nuts.
Double D's nuts! Yeah. Glazed for your pleasure.
Yeah. And salty. Sweet.
They are.
Tasty.
They are delicious, yes.
Wonderful.
They do make a bourbon-flavored one, too.
Yeah, I can't have that.
I know you can't, I'll get down on that bourbon,
you'll gobble
baby.
That down.
I will gobble it down.
Yeah, just unhinge your jaw like a snake. God damn.
Despite,
and back to Flubber.
Yes. Despite much criticism and a looming lawsuit, the Hassenfeld brothers maintained innocence, claiming that Flubber was safe and unrelated to the rashes that just so happened to afflict the mouths, throats, and faces of Flubber owners. Still,
Flubber fiends, if you
Flubber
will.
Fiends. Yes. They did the right thing and recalled all the existing Flubber from the market. But now, they were left with quite a viscoelastic conundrum. What do you do with the millions of Flubber balls that you now have in your warehouse?
Well, if it's anything like the film The Blob, you freeze them.
and that's it.
Yeah.
Just leave them there.
That might have worked better, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, what'd they do?
Well, according to legend.
Oh.
And I'll get into this in
Bury them in the desert, like the ET cartridges?
You're getting ahead.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. They tried burning it.
Yeah, you can't burn a flubber.
No. The very nature and the chemical composition of this rubbery substance produced a thick, toxic cloud of black smoke when burned.
Very much. That's going to give you a rash.
Yes. So, they tried dumping it in the ocean.
Yeah.
But those little damn flubber balls float.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of them. So, with nothing left to lose, a few employees took advantage of the factory parking lot that was being paved, and in the cover of night, dug a large hole in the ground, dumped all of the flubber into that hole, steamrolled it back up, and then the next day, the parking lot was freshly paved, and bim, bam, boom! Problem solved, baby. As you know, asphalt in the summertime can heat up quite a bit.
This is true.
And there have been reports of small bits of heated flubber permeating through the cracks in that very parking lot.
Wow. Like, to this day?
To this day.
That's cool.
Now, this flubber fiasco was such a disaster that any other company would have folded and crumbled under the pressure of nationwide failure. Because remember, this wasn't just limited to one town. This was the entire United States.
Yeah.
But the Hassenfeld brothers did what all successful companies do to stay alive when presented with public disapproval. They rebranded themselves. They dropped the name Hassenfeld, started calling themselves Hasbro.
Yeah.
This was one of the reasons why they changed their name to distance themselves from the flubber fuck-up.
Wow. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew that we would both be doing Hasbro?
That's fun, man.
Kinda, sorta.
We both learned. I didn't know that
Hasbro... I just wanted to use Mr. Potato Head to siphon in some butt...
Some sex stuff?
Some butt fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Butt fun is fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Hassenfeld was Hasbro.
Yeah,
so that
I
was,
didn't either.
That was new to me.
Yeah.
But it makes sense now. Hassenfeld Brothers.
Right.
Hasbro.
Yeah.
So, we are now...
Wow.
To our last on the list, our final murder toy for this year's episode is a classic, a timeless, well-known toy that has entertained and traumatized many a spine. We are talking about the Wet Banana!
What are you talking about?
The Wet Banana!
Yeah, you say it like I know what the Wet Banana is.
Oh, you love a Wet Banana.
I love Ryan, a green banana.
You want to get that banana in your mouth? Get that banana in your mouth.
I don't
get
see
that.
Why not.
You want to get that banana
I had a banana this morning.
Mouth. You want to get that banana, that Wet Banana up in that mouth, Brian? Guess what that banana delicious. You want to get that
it's
banana.
Wet.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a wet banana.
That banana, they got some potassium. Did that banana got vitamin D? Because if it does, you can get it from Double D's Nuts.
I don't think that the nuts have vitamin D. That's one D too many.
Two D's.
Yeah.
Now, you probably don't know what I'm talking about.
No one does.
Yeah. 'Cause this item has had a few names over the years.
Okay.
The Wet Banana being one of the lesser known names.
Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious that
the
item
funny.
Was called the Wet Banana.
Yeah. It turns out it's a dictionary.
Yeah.
Kids love it.
Let's get into the brief history of this banana and what it eventually became known as.
You had it set up perfectly right there. You didn't say, let's peel this banana?
No, I didn't.
What is wrong with
you? I thought that was overkill.
No.
I just...
For
okay.
you?
And for
no.
me?
God, no.
In the summer of 1960, in Lakewood, California, Robert Carrier came home and heard the sound of his 10-year-old son, Mike, laughing hysterically.
The fuck's so funny in there, Mike? The fuck's so funny in there? The fuck's so funny?
When he got a closer look at what Mike was doing...
Yeah. Yeah, please tell me. What was Mike doing?
He noticed that his son had taken a garden hose and sprayed down the surface of their painted concrete driveway.
Oh.
His son, Mike, had discovered that the combination of the water and the smooth, slick concrete surface created an extremely slick surface. All day long, Mike and his friends had been running from the inside of the garage, then belly flopping onto the wet concrete and sliding all the way down the driveway to the curb. Robert Carrier said to his son and his friends...
How is that so fucking funny? Robert, you're too old for this, Michael.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. Here's a quote. His dad said, quote, "You guys are going to kill yourselves doing
this. You're too old for this."
And yet, after saying that, he let him proceed.
You just, got it everywhere, yeah, Michael. You're too old for this.
Doing it.
Ah, it's in your shoes, Michael.
God damn it.
Did I ever tell you this story?
You did.
Oh, your sister. She's going to be so mad. Michael.
Eventually, the family
moved. This is a slip and slide, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Eventually, the family moved to a new home.
What a weird name.
Right?
For a slip and slide.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Okay.
But, the family moved to a new home, which had a backyard patio that had the same painted type of concrete. Mike and his friends continued with the slippery antics, that is, until one of them slipped a little too far and crashed into the backyard gate, breaking it.
Broke his head open.
No, actually, he was fine. Just dead. Broke the gate.
Instantly dead.
Yeah, no, that happens later.
Okay.
Robert was employed as an upholsterer, and he had access to all kinds of materials. So he thought to himself, you know what? There's got to be a better way.
I've been making all these chairs with these trash bags.
Right, exactly. So he set out with the intention of creating a safer backyard water slide for his son and his friends. Robert ended up fashioning a 50-foot-long piece of naga hide, a type of heavy fabric coated in vinyl with a curled side that was sewn with small intervals that would allow water to squirt onto the surface of the fabric when a hose was attached to it. And thus, the very first portable aquatic play device for body planing was born!
That's what it was called?
That's what it was called,
this guy's a marketing genius.
This guy's a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Build a portable aquatic play device for body planing? Yes. Of course, that name is, it's a fucking mouthful. So, when the design was patented, it
mouthful
was...
Mouthful of these nuts.
Yeah. It was simply shortened to the slip and slide.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I mentioned the wet banana. I did. Yeah, yeah. That is because...
Many times, actually.
Yeah. The slip and slide has been marketed under many different names because it's been owned by different companies. Yeah. So, at one point, it was called the wet banana.
Stupid. It's a stupid name.
It is a dumb. So
delicious, though.
Robert and his business partner took the aquatic design to the company Wham-O, a toy company that was very friendly in considering outside ideas and the acquisition of those ideas, which is pretty cool. Like most companies will not listen to some schmo that comes out of nowhere being like, I got a great idea for a toy.
Pitch me, nerd.
Yeah, but Wham-O, Wham-O's like, tell us what you got.
Yeah.
And they loved it. So they agreed.
Give you $5 for it.
I'm not sure. I think Robert retained the rights to it.
Nice.
Yeah, I think he did.
Good for
which
him.
Which means he became very wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Wham-O agreed to produce and market it. I don't think they bought the rights. I'm not sure. I didn't see anything about them getting the rights.
No.
However, there was one caveat. Naga hide was simply too expensive to use for a kid's toy, so the fabric was replaced with what we are familiar with today, yellow plastic. And in 1961, the slip and slide was officially on the market and became an instant success. Priced at $9.95, it sold over 300,000 units in just a few months. And that's actually a very big deal, considering that adjusted for inflation, that would be about $99 today.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, the slip and slide, it's not a one and done toy. It was meant to be used for the entire summer by groups of kids, and it was a toy that could be used every year after. It justifies the price.
Sure, sure, sure. It's like buying a fake Christmas tree.
Sure.
You know.
You use it every year.
Exactly.
Brings joy.
Yeah.
But that $9.95 that you spend, you know, I mean, it's really nothing compared to the countless hours and years of fun and joy that the slip and slide could. Right. And, you know, until you take into account the inevitable injuries associated with its use.
One rock, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, the rocks actually weren't that much of an issue.
No, no, no. Multiple rocks, not an issue. One rock.
One rock, okay.
Fucked.
Well, It should be fairly obvious as to the types of injuries sustained through the use of a slip and slide. Those who choose to use the slide do so by running and diving headfirst in the form of a belly flop onto the slide and then coasting down the slick surface all the way to the end.
God, my knees hurt just thinking about it.
Exactly. Now, over the years, there have been countless injuries, head injuries, neck injuries, broken necks, spinal cord injuries, paralysis, cracked skulls, and even in one case, death. In 1998, it was reported that there were over 5,000 slip and slide injuries that needed hospital attention.
Mm. This is a reference that's going to go over your head because you're not a Simpsons guy.
Sure.
But it is like the episode where Homer gets the trampoline.
Don't know. Yeah.
I'll play you the scene later.
Oh my God.
What is it?
Trampoline. Trampoline.
He said what now?
Please don't bring home any more old crutches.
Did you have a slip and slide as a kid?
No, but I...
Did you use one?
If I remember correctly, the family across the street did when I was a kid.
Okay. I didn't have one either, but I knew somebody that did, so I did use it as a kid. Yeah. I never had any issues. Did you?
No.
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 Well,
unless we both died on a slip and slide, and this is purgatory.
This is hell? Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least hell has pizza. I'm fine with that.
That's true. Well, good point.
Now, regarding the injuries... That is actually what really piqued my interest. That's what's interesting about this.
The injuries piqued your interest?
Well...
Shocking.
Yeah. But the main reason I wanted to include this as a murder toy is that in nearly all of the reported injuries, hardly any were of children.
Oh!
Those who suffered and died as a result of the slip and slide were teenagers and mostly adults.
Hmm.
For example... In the 1990s, a California man by the name of Bill Evans fractured his neck and became a quadriplegic after using the slip and slide.
Jesus Christ.
In 1998.
I'd rather be dead.
The quadriplegic?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it either, man.
Right?
Like, being that I make a living as an artist and playing guitar, and that's what makes me happy, is being able to do this. If I...
That's rough.
I think I'd rather just be...
Not only that, becoming a quadriplegic from a slip and slide.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be like, why couldn't the slip and slide just have taken
me?
The specter of death, wet banana, just take me from this mortal coil.
No disrespect to quadriplegics who have found purpose in life, but I myself, personally, I couldn't.
I mean, you gotta assume that anyone that goes through something like that, that's gotta be a very early thought, though, of like,
right.
Couldn't I just fucking die? Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
I'm shitting in a bag over here, man.
Yeah.
You know?
If we pushed around.
At least there's pizza still, there's I guess. Pizza, yeah. There's always pizza. There's
always pizza.
Yeah.
In 1998, a college student by the name of Brian Reich suffered a spinal cord injury and became paralyzed from the chest down with limited arm mobility after using the slip and slide. The list of injuries goes on, and yet what is fascinating is... that the slide was not defective. The slip and slide did exactly what it was designed to do. And of those who suffered horrific spine and neck injuries, they didn't misuse or abuse the slip and slide. They did exactly what the directions instructed them to do. So why adults and teens? How is it that kids can use the slide with little risk? And yet when adults use it in the same exact fashion, they gamble with the mobility and usefulness of their neck and livelihood.
That's weird.
The answer lies in the fact that the slip and slide is one of those rare toys that is exclusively made, designed, and can only be used by children. It is not meant to be used and cannot be used by adults at all. The slip and slide's possibility for a debilitating injury is the result of physics.
Huh.
The slip and slide is designed only for children 11 and under, which stands in stark contrast to warning, because most toys are like for 5 years and up, for 10 years and up. This is the opposite.
Yeah, but also you
only
have
11
to,
and under.
You'd think that it's just a fucking plastic and some water.
Right. You would think that there's little harm, no foul, right? No fear.
Yeah.
No fear.
How is this any different from, like, a hill or sledding.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you.
Also, if you want to get a good slip and slide going, you put a little soap in.
Oh, there, yeah, a little palm olive in there.
A little palm in there.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, you'd be slipping and sliding.
Oh, you're slipping for days.
Mm, that
and
weapon
it cleans.
Now.
You know, it cleans as you
it
go.
It does. It does.
That
yeah,
counts.
It gets rid of the grief.
Exactly. Yeah. It's good for the ducks.
Well, the physics involved. This is because kids are small
and stupid.
And stupid. They fucking put aqua dots in their mouth and then they roofie each other.
Yeah, but you're freebasing aqua dots and then you go on the slip and slide.
It's just asking
what
for
a day.
It, yeah. But
what a great day.
Actually, no, you'd be fine still if you were a kid, because kids don't weigh a lot. And when they run and throw themselves onto the slide, they can't achieve the momentum necessary to sustain a severe injury. Whereas adults, on the other hand, we're fat, we're heavy.
And presumably, if you're an adult and you're on a slip and slide, you're probably a little drunk, too.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Because you ain't going to catch me on one of those.
No, no, not anymore.
Nah. I mean, this shirt doesn't come off in public.
No. But as adults, compared to kids, we have an overabundance of mass, and we can generate enough momentum that simply gets amplified by that slide and eventually results in broken necks and broken spines.
And broken dreams.
Broken dreams, yeah. Simply put, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And as an adult, when you dive headfirst onto the slip and slide, you just might become a quadriplegic or, at worst, die. The slip and slide. A classic staple of American summers, safe for kids, but a neck breaker for teens and adults.
Why would I even get on a slip and slide if there's hot dogs around?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm going to get all my fun from them dogs.
Oh, yeah, those dogs?
Yeah. Mm. Love a good tube meat.
Nice hot, salty dog.
Yeah.
Are hot dogs salty? I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't eaten one in years, but.
Very salty.
Salty dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta wonder why I have such high blood pressure.
Well, you know what? But I see you putting in the effort.
It's the dogs.
It's the dogs.
Yes.
The dogs. Well, that, my friends, concludes this year's episode of Murder Toys. Toys That Kill.
Yeah. That last segment, not as dour as the opener.
No. I wanted to start depressing and kind of end on a fun note,
kind of.
Although there was a fatality as a result of a slip and slide.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was just fascinating to me, the slip and slide, because it, you know, most adults, you can play with whatever kid your plays with. You can play with whatever toy your kid plays with.
Yeah.
This is one of those rare ones that you can't. An adult cannot play with a slip and slide. It is not for adults. And it specifically says on the label, for 11 and under.
Yeah.
It's not for teenagers.
Okay, I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
If you're an adult and you're looking at that slip and slide and you're thinking, maybe.
Maybe? I mean, it's a gamble.
Maybe don't be drunk when you do it.
Still, though.
Maybe take it easy, you know? Maybe you don't run. Maybe you don't belly flop. You just sit.
Oh.
And you
gently
slide.
Yourself.
You just That'd be slide fine, down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Don't get fucking crazy with it. You ain't a kid anymore.
No.
And especially, because I also feel like a lot of times when it's an adult that's getting injured on a slip and slide, they're doing some extremely stupid, dumb shit. You know, like you put one into a ramp at the end and it like flies into a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Some jackass bullshit. Don't do that shit.
And that's not to say that little kids don't get injured, because little kids do get injured, but it's usually when they do the jackass stunts.
Exactly.
In the cases that I read of people who got paralyzed, they were just doing
They were just slipping and sliding.
Yeah, just normal. They weren't going crazy.
Moving and a grooving. Rocking and a rolling.
It's just like I said, the physics.
It's a song.
And their weight. I know, it's a song. And also, little kids can bounce. You can bounce a little kid body off the ground.
They're made of flubber.
Yeah, they are. Adults, though, you fall an inch and you compress your spine and you're done for the day. You know?
Sometimes if I cough wrong, I'm fucked for a month.
Yeah, exactly. So slip and slide, just say no.
If I sneeze, done.
Yeah.
I could be done.
I mean, fuck, at this point, you're at that age where you can sit on your balls and hurt yourself.
They kind of hurt today
a little. Oh, my bad.
I shat on some gum.
Oh. Now, I do have some fun follow-up facts.
Ooh, please.
Just to go over some stuff, because we got through the meat.
Okay, and this is the potatoes? We're on to the potatoes.
These are the potatoes, not up the ass.
Wow.
So if you're still listening, a couple things I wanted to go over. Now, regarding the flubber.
Yeah.
There have actually been investigations into the validity of all of the mythos surrounding flubber. Doctors ended up studying, well, not doctors, I should say scientists.
They have doctorates.
People with doctorate degrees.
Sure.
Ended up studying the flubber to see why is it causing these rashes.
We must study the flubber. Mm-hmm.
And they found that it was not toxic. They couldn't find any reason as to why kids were getting rashes, which is why the Hassenfeld brothers were like, it's fine, we didn't do anything wrong. But also, it is kind of crazy to think that the only kids that were getting these mouth rashes and throat rashes, and the rashes were on the inside of the throat and on the outside.
Oh, weird. Okay.
It was on inside and the outside.
Huh.
The only ones that were suffering were owners of flubber.
Interesting.
So take that for however you think.
Hmm. Because initially my thought was like maybe the glitter was coarse.
Sure.
And did something.
Maybe.
That's weird.
I don't know.
Huh.
And is regarding the disposal of the flubber.
Yes.
The burning it, trying to drown it, and then eventually burying it in the parking lot. There have been investigations into did that actually happen.
Mm.
And so this is where it gets weird.
Where was this parking lot?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
It's out in Rhode Island, yeah.
I wish I'd known this months ago. I could have figured this out. I could have gone to the parking lot.
It's no longer owned by Hasbro. It's owned by another company. Hasbro sold the factory as well as the parking lot to somebody else.
Huh. Listener of the podcast. Andrew, he's in Rhode Island, I'm pretty sure.
Andrew, I need you to go to this parking lot. Just, I don't care if they're security guards.
Check on the flubber.
Trespass.
Tell them you're there for the flubber.
I'm here for the flubber. He's going to get arrested.
We want the money, Lebowski.
Yeah.
Wife says you're good for it.
So they investigated the disposal practices, and they couldn't find any evidence. They couldn't find any paper trail saying that this was done, right?
Sure.
Sounds made up then. Fun, fanciful story. That is until the Flubber movie came out with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And then some factory workers came forward and said, yeah, no, we did that. We tried to burn it. We tried dumping it in the water. We buried it. There's no paper trail because what we did was fucking illegal.
Sure.
And the Hassenfeld brothers didn't want anything coming back to them.
Right.
So there is no paper trail.
Of course.
So this is one of those instances where you can't prove it happened and you can't really deny it happened.
Sure, sure.
The only way you can prove it is if you go to the parking lot that is owned by somebody else.
On a nice, hot, hot day.
And dig it up, which you can't really do.
Or if it's still seeping through the pavement, maybe you'll see a little glitter.
So.
Shiny, beautiful pavement. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That is very much like the E.T. cartridges for the Atari.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also true.
Which is also true, yeah.
Which was just recently discovered to be true, like, 6 years ago.
Yep. So, I think it is plausible that in the disposal of the flubber, they probably tried burning it, they probably tried drowning it, and then they probably just buried it somewhere. Now, regarding the slip and slide, I tried to find the name of the person who did die. Because there was a person who suffered and died as a result of using the slide.
Yeah.
And all I found regarding that fatality was that it occurred in the 1970s, but no name was listed, and I think I know why.
Okay.
When I was researching
this...
It involves a settlement, yes. Yeah. So the people that have been hurt by the slip and slide had obviously sued the company.
Yeah.
And they won.
Yeah.
A lot of them win.
Yeah.
And
I guarantee that this wasn't initially a toy for children kind of a thing, and that with every lawsuit, the age decreased on the actual thing, so that people were not, they weren't liable for it anymore.
Well, as far as the liability, so these people would sue the slip and slide company. It depends on who owned it at the time, because like I said, different people have owned the slip and slide. Wham-O originally owned it. I can't remember who owned it after that. And what I saw was that a couple cases, the quadriplegics or the paraplegics would go to court. They'd get like $1 million. The company would pay out. Slip and slide would pay. Mm-hmm. But then they would immediately slap essentially a non-disclosure on the person who won.
Yeah.
So we'll give you the money, but you can never talk about this ever again.
Yeah.
And so it turns out the people that own Slip and Slide, they're kind of fucking assholes. They're very litigious. Once they have to pay out, they go after the people that they just paid so that they'll never talk about it again. So most likely the person who died, I'm not a lawyer, but if I had to guess, the person who died, probably their family got a hefty amount of money.
Yeah.
And then they were probably slapped with an NDA of some kind saying, you can't ever talk about this. So, which is probably why I could not find specific info regarding the one fatality of the Slip and Slide.
It's probably one of those, like, this is the amount we'll give you, or we'll give you a higher amount with an NDA for the settlement.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure those NDAs, because one of the articles that I had read was like, they were very, very aggressive in telling people, you do not fucking talk about this.
Yeah, right. Slip and Slide is like part of the mob.
Listen here, you wheelchair. Listen here, you wheelchair motherfucker. Yeah. Do not talk about this. And there you go. That's all the little follow-up that I wanted.
Wet banana-nosed motherfucker.
I know, man.
It's wet banana-nosed.
Ruthless banana I know. No. Wow.
That's fascinating.
I hope you enjoy it.
That was great.
I hope you enjoyed it, Brian.
That was great.
The audience, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Murder Toys, Toys That Kill.
You got some promoting to do.
Do I?
Horror House.
Oh, fuck. I do. I forgot.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. So this episode comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. The 5th?
I think it's the first Tuesday of December. Yeah.
The 5th.
Well, the 9th of December, this coming Saturday, I will be in McCordsville, Indiana, which is, I think, on the northeast side of Indianapolis, about 35 minutes from where I'm currently living.
You don't need to tell them that.
I'm not telling them where. I'm just saying 35, you know? So I'm saying that in case, you know, so if my car breaks down, which it does every month, I won't have to pay $466 for a tow.
Sure.
I'll just have to pay for a local tow.
God damn it.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I got car troubles. but yeah, December 9th, Saturday, at the, I believe it's the Scarlet Lane Brewing Company.
Yes.
It's going to be a holiday pop-up event put together by the Horror House guys. Awesome brick-and-mortar horror store up in Chicago. So there will be some vendors. It's basically, this is a perfect time for some last-minute shopping.
Yeah.
Stop by. If beer is your thing, you can. I think you can drink.
Yeah, I think they might have, like, limited edition holiday beers there as well, too. So, yeah.
And there'll be plenty of artwork that you can buy. I'll have spray-painted heads, some prints, stickers, and buttons.
Yeah.
And this will be my last event of the year, so this will be your last time to buy before the Christmas season.
That's true. It's kind of a gamble if people want anything from you. With doing those open orders or pre-made sales.
It's always a gamble, which is why if you see something and it happens to be available, you should buy it. Because I don't know when you'll be able to buy it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all I got coming up.
That's great.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm just happy to see you out there doing the thing.
Okay.
Trying to do the thing. Okay. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I got nothing going on.
No.
Nah, starting to put together next year's schedule, but nothing in the immediate future really worth even bringing up.
Okay.
I got some tables open in February and maybe in April, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I got more details on the Instagram.
Yeah, I have nothing coming up for next year, so I don't know, man. I'm making this up as I go.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So.
You're doing great.
Thank you, buddy. Well, unless you have anything else to say.
No.
You're done?
I think so.
Good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. You know what I do want to say? If you're listening to this episode, listen to Brian's latest episode of his Electric Monster podcast, because he does a very short, like 20-minute editorial piece on the satanic panic of the 80s. And for it being as short as it is, you condense a lot of great information. It's very informative, and I think my listeners out there, you need to give it a shot, because I very much enjoyed listening to it.
Well, you know, usually when I write out the scripts, I give a little bit of leeway for any interruptions, but I'm the only one that interrupts, so I don't interrupt myself very often.
If I did an editorial of my own, I would interrupt myself.
Yeah.
I would end up talking to myself. I do bits with myself.
Right, right.
It would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that one of these days. I'll do a solo episode.
Yeah.
And we'll just see where I go. We'll see how
That'd
crazy I get.
You know? I'll show you how to work this device.
It'll be kind of like Epoch Industries. You know, Perler Beats? Let's just get fucking crazy with it.
Right.
Let's just get crazy with it. Let's see what we can do.
I don't know if I brought it up in that episode, the Satanic Panic, but I did record it out in the van.
Oh, the van, yeah. You did.
Yeah, in the driveway. Because I thought it'd be weird if I was just sitting here talking as you walked through.
I would have no problem doing bits in front of you if you were just walking around.
Yeah, that's so. Where you and I differ.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, to each their own. But I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of M3 with E5. If Christmas is your thing, I hope you have a nice holiday. If Christmas is not your thing, I hope you spend some time with some friends or just spend some quality alone time, whatever gets you through the holidays. And if Christmas isn't your thing, celebrate whatever holiday, man. Just get through this fucking month. That's all I got. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Preach it.
Preach. I'm going to preach about the wet banana. I love that wet banana. And with that being said, thank you for listening to this episode. I think the next episode will probably just be like a year in review. What are we going to do?
Oh, yeah.
It's the New Year's.
I kind of like those.
Yeah. You know, just a little, hey, this is the state of things.
Well, I think last year we did the state of the scene.
Yeah.
Where we talked about art and...
We talked about AI a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that was one of our best episodes. I mean, there's some really good shit in that
AI
episode.
AI has come really far in the 12 months.
In 1 year, yeah.
So I probably would end up talking about my disdain for AI again.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that'll just be kind of like a fun hangout. You know, like our good friend Andrew listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
He likes listening, and his girlfriend as well.
Yeah.
They like listening because it's like hanging out with us. So I think next month's episode, you could just hang out with us. You know, we're just
yeah, I mean,
out.
Look, not to crib too much from a last podcast on the left, but it will be a relaxed fit.
Oh yes,
episode.
Yes. I'm still gonna wear my long. I'm gonna wear my long johns.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna get. I mean, you know what? Maybe I'll just have me a beer. I'll also have me a Royal Crown Cola.
Okay.
I'll get some cookies. I'll get some candy bars.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just gonna fucking go crazy.
Yeah, you're getting nuts, man.
Oh man, like that little kid in the background just fucking. Go-
yes. Yeah.
And with that being said, everybody, tschüss, auf Wiedersehen und bis später. I forgot.
So yeah, if you want to hold on, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
If you want to follow the show, follow along on Instagram at Electric Monster Pod. If you want to follow myself on Instagram, it's at Aerosol Pro. If you want to follow Mr. Epion 5 on Instagram, it is at Epion 5. That's it.
And get yourself a wet banana. Get some D's Nuts, Double D's Nuts, and just...
Yeah, also get on the Facebook. Go check out Double D's Nuts. Good people, good nuts. That's what it should say under it.
Yep.
Good people, good nuts.
Yeah, I should clarify. It's my brother, actually.
It's his brother.
It's my older brother. He and my sister-in-law, and I'm proud of them, man. This is awesome. They bought like a roasted nut machine off eBay a couple years ago, and then they have made it a business, and now they travel. They go to conventions, they go to street fairs, they go to markets. My brother bought a trailer that they operate out of so they can make the nuts right then and there. So, like, yeah, they actually make roasted nuts that are really fucking good.
Yeah, get them. Go and get them. Okay, that's it. Now we're done. Stop it.
But it's a very simple toy. It is...
I thought that was part of the script.
No. You bow-legged bitch.